This morning is taken from Acts and chapter 18, and we shall be reading all 28 verses of that chapter. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. "This man," they charged, "is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law." Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he then ejected them from the court. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatever. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and travelled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervour and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we pray now that we will have open hearts and open minds to be receptive and responsive to your words, to your message, whether this is the words of comfort, encouragement, challenge, or rebuke. And we pray now that you will bless Robert and equip and enable him as he opens up the scriptures with us now. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Steve and Julie, for leading our service this morning. Can I ask you to have your Bible open at the passage we've just read? So if you've closed it, it's page 1114, Acts 18. I'm going to be referring to it from time to time. I'm going to refer to some other scriptures. In the case of those, I'll put them up on the screen so that you have them and don't have to flick around a lot of the time. We're not actually going to do Romans this morning, but I hope what I am going to do is going to be complementary to what we have been doing in Romans. When we get to chapter 16 of Romans, there's a list of people that Paul greets and a list of people he sends greetings from. Now, it may at first glance look like a lot of names, but actually it's quite interesting because there's lots of little snippets of information, and some we find out a little bit about in other places, some we don't know anything more about than what's mentioned there. But it is good just to read those and just see all the people that affected Paul and the others in those days in the growth of the early church. And this morning we are going to pick up two of those that we do know quite a bit more about. Most of what we know about them is here in this chapter that we've read, chapter 18. It's Priscilla and Aquila. But also, as we look at them, we will see how what they do is very consistent with what Paul writes in chapter 12 of Romans that we have just been studying recently about practical Christianity. But first of all, the context. Sorry, I'm pressing the wrong button. After Athens. Paul has been just in Athens. How's he feeling? He's on his second missionary journey. He wasn't actually hounded out of Athens as he had been in some other places, but he had experienced quite a lot of apathy. And for some reason, he leaves Silas and Timothy in Athens for a while, and he goes on to Corinth. So apparently, he's travelling there by himself. After very limited success in Athens, he moves to Corinth, very different sort of city, a major commercial centre, very strategic place for the propagation of the gospel, but also famous or infamous for its wickedness and immorality, often in the name of religion. So it was quite a daunting task for Paul. How would you feel going into a new city, that sort of city, alone, intending to try and preach the gospel? Well, suggest actually there were discouragements. In fact, fear and trembling. You might say, oh, not the Apostle Paul, or how can I tell that? Well, actually, we can tell, because when he writes to the Corinthians later on, he says this: "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing among you nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." I tend to think of the apostles and the difficulties they had, the persecutions, the beatings, the stonings. But actually, they also experienced the same sort of discouragements as we have. Apathy, wickedness. So, there were other discouragements. Opposition, particularly from the Jews. Just as the Jews had done to Paul in previous places, they opposed him. And we read that in verses 6 and then in 12 and 13 of the passage in front of you. And Paul, he gets fed up with him. He basically washes his hands over them and says, "I'm going off to the Gentiles now." But it must have been very discouraging, his own people rejecting who he believed to be the Messiah. But along with the discouragements, there were encouragements as well. God's promise that we read in verses 9 to 11 of the passage. So, if Paul is feeling very discouraged, maybe feeling like he wants to give up, he says, Verse 9, the Lord tells him, don't be afraid. Remember who's in control. Keep up the good work. Which reminds me of what Paul will later write when he writes the Corinthians, that the work we do for the Lord is not in vain. Keep up the good work. Verse 10, God is going to be with him. And also he gets an extra promise for Corinth in verse 10 that he's going to be safe. Now, in lots of other places he wasn't safe, but he gets a promise that he's going to be kept safe in Corinth. And finally, God tells him he's actually got lots of people in the city. Maybe lots of them weren't yet believers, but nevertheless, God knew he had his people there. Knowing this then encouraged Paul, as we read in verse 11, he stayed for a year and a half in Corinth. Another encouragement, believing rulers. We read that when Paul did leave the synagogue and washed his hands of the Jews, he found a welcome in the home of Titius Justus next door and had the joy of seeing Crispus, the synagogue ruler, or one of the synagogue rulers, and his family becoming believers, along with many other Corinthians. You'll notice I've put verse 17 with a question mark after it, because there's a Sosthenes mentioned later on, whom the Jews beat up when they want to have a go at Paul. Assuming that the reason they wanted to rough him up was because he was a believer. We don't know that for sure, but that does seem likely. And in fact, when Paul writes to to Corinthians, the first letter he writes to them, he actually says, this letter is from Paul and from Sosthenes. So it's likely that this is the same person. So Paul must be encouraged by God's promise to him and by believing synagogue rulers. Also encouraged by Gallio, the proconsul. Remember, God has promised that he's going to be kept safe in Corinth. So the Jews have a go at him. This is verses 12 to 17. They bring him up in court, and Gallio says, I don't want to know. This is argument among you Jews. This isn't a serious criminal offence. Sort it out yourselves. And in fact, when they beat up Sosthenes, Gallio sort of seems to have no concern. Seems a bit hard, but I understand from history we know that Gallio was actually quite a kind man. So I think he was just making the point that he wasn't going to get involved. So Paul was kept safe from the Jews, and that would encourage him as well. But his main encouragement, or one of his big encouragements, was the couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And their main role was, I believe, hospitality. Really, we read about that in the first couple of verses of our passage, but elsewhere as well. We find out that they came from, they'd come from Rome. The Roman Emperor Claudius had expelled the Jews from Rome. Apparently the reason was because of the activities of somebody called Crestus, which may have been Christ. So it may actually have been the Christians that were causing problems that caused the Jews to get expelled from Rome. We don't know for sure whether Aquila and Priscilla were believers at this stage, but they take Paul in and they allow him to work with them. And it always strikes me that that was quite a key thing for them to do. They've only just come from Rome. So they're setting up a new business in a new place, looking for work, and they actually share it with Paul. I thought it was quite a generous thing to do, and they make Paul very welcome. So there he was, able to stay with some people and share in business and actually pay his own well, in his own way. Aquila and Priscilla are always mentioned as a couple. Another thing we know about them is they did a lot of travelling. In days when people didn't travel very much, at least there were vast distances. Paul did, I know, but he was the exception. But we know that Aquila originally came from Pontus, which is up in the north of Turkey present day, near the Black Sea. They'd obviously gone to Rome for some reason. long way from Pontus. Then we read about in our passage that when the Jews are expelled from Rome, Aquila and Priscilla move to Corinth. Then further on in our passage, they move with Paul to Ephesus, and he leaves them there doing work for the church there. But actually, as we look at some of the other passages, we realize later on, when Paul writes to Rome, he's sending greetings to Aquila and Priscilla, who are back in Rome. And then later on, when he writes to Timothy, when Timothy's in Ephesus, he greets Aquila and Priscilla. So they've certainly got around a bit, much of it, for the sake of the gospel. And we'll come back to that a little bit more later on. Also, teaching. Again, in the passage we have, while Paul is off, he goes off to Antioch. He's possibly there about a year before he sets off on his next missionary journey. And he goes through areas he's been at before. But while he's away from Ephesus, he promises that he'll go back to Ephesus. But while he's away, he leaves Priscilla and Aquila, and a young man comes, starts preaching. He's clearly a very eloquent man, a very well-taught man, but he just hasn't got the whole story yet. Now, it would have been easy for Aquila and Priscilla to say, Paul's coming back, Paul's promised to come back, we'll get him to sort Paulus out when he gets back. But no, they don't. They take the responsibility, they take him into their own home, and they teach him. And if you read in the passage then, what Apollos then does, having had that just that little bit of extra teaching, he takes that eloquence and that ability and he goes to Achaia, somewhere where Paul had trouble. He'd found it quite hard there. But the brothers in Ephesus encourage Apollos and he goes on. And Apollos is somebody who is then, in Scripture, we read a lot more about. And he's a key person in the early church as well. They're also committed. When Paul greets them in Romans 16, he says this: Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. We don't actually know what it was he's referring to. Clearly the other churches, the churches of the Gentiles did know, so it was probably a well-known fact at the time, but we don't know for sure what it was. Maybe it was just the fact that having Paul as this dangerous man who's, you know, stirring things up, having him in their house and working with them, maybe that was it, but it sounds like there was something more than that. So, they're very committed. But finally, the contribution. Maybe I should say their contribution. It's this hospitality again. And back to Romans chapter 16. Note what happens. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. They're fellow workers in Christ Jesus. What a great thing for to be said by the Apostle Paul. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. So their hospitality extends to actually having the believers meeting with them. Something very similar in 1 Corinthians. This is written earlier, actually, than he writes at Rome. When he's in Ephesus, he writes, The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. So this is when they're in Ephesus. So in Rome, they have a church meeting at their house. In Ephesus, they have a church meeting at their house. So it's a big part of their contribution to the early church. So what about hospitality? It's a gift for Christians to use. Let me remind you of what we've read in Romans chapter 12 recently, I've picked out just some highlights, but after saying, I urge you, brothers, because of all of God's mercy, all of he's done before, all that Paul writes in the first 11 chapters of Romans, he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have a different attitude. That same phrase came out in the passage from Philippians that Louis read a little while ago. So with the renewed mind, he says, we each have different gifts. Lots of different gifts. But in particular, verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Well, Aquila and Priscilla were certainly doing that. But also we read in 1 Peter, a very similar argument to what's made in Romans 12. Because of what Christ has done, because Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude. The attitude of Christ, not the attitude of those around. You've spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans do. A few verses on, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then more generally, each of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. So, hospitality is a gift for Christians to use. Also, it's a requirement of leadership. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. I've just put the verses down so that you can look them up later if you want. But in the passage in 1 Timothy and in Titus, hospitality is listed among the things that a leader, an elder, should have. You don't always think of that. And that other one that I've put in brackets there, it's for the widows. The widows who wanted to get the benefit of the church, there were a number of things that they had to fulfill. One of them was they had to show hospitality as well. Okay, so it's a gift for the Christians to use. To whom? To whom should we show hospitality? The passage in Luke I haven't put up, but that's the one that says, you know, when you invite people round, don't invite the people who can invite you back. Invite the people who can't return it. That's one aspect of hospitality. This one I found quite an interesting one in John, because I think it's referring to the people that are travelling around at the time, spreading the gospel. He says, dear friend, you're faithful in what you're doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. Therefore, we ought to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. So they're supporting the evangelists, particularly people traveling around a lot in those days, and the hotels probably wouldn't have been the best places for believers to stay. Also, in Galatians, let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So who do we give hospitality to? Everybody, particularly believers. And I love that verse in Hebrews. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Have you ever entertained any angels? Well, question, have you ever entertained any strangers? Well, I don't know whether I've entertained angels or not, but that's the promise. That, in a sense, it doesn't really matter whether they are human strangers or angels. It's the hospitality which matters. So we show hospitality, particularly to believers, to everyone, especially those who can't repay us, but actually everyone. So, not all are preachers, teachers, leaders, missionaries. Not all are in a position to show hospitality, but there are other gifts. But those who do have that opportunity should think of it just as much a gift as preaching, teaching, etc. Just that phrase from Romans I end with. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Would you like that as your epitaph? That somebody 2,000 years' time would read that about you? That the great apostle Paul or somebody has appreciated what they've done? And in fact, all the churches of the Gentiles have appreciated what they've done. And perhaps, I don't know how Edward is going to deal with Romans 16 when we come to it, but perhaps when you see that list of names, of greetings, you'll just remember each one of those are people who have played a key role in the growth of the early church. Yes, Paul was the great apostle, and there were people like Luke, Barnabas, Silas, Apollos that we read about, Timothy. But all these others played an important role. So whether your gift is hospitality or something else, use your gift to the glory of God. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them.